At this time, I invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 119, verses 89 through 105. Psalm 119, verses 89 through 105. You may also find this text on page 514 in your Pew Bibles. And as you do it, I'd like to dismiss the children for their Sunday school lesson. If you have an iPhone, there is now this feature in your phone where you can make Siri speak with different accents. So in your iPhone, Siri can now speak with a British accent, with an Australian accent, South African, Irish, and even with an Indian accent. Well, every now and then you get the same feature with preachers. And so today this happens that you've got one with a Russian accent. Speaking about Russian and Russian accents, I have an older brother who still lives in Russia, and, you know, we grew up together. We played the same sports. We shared the room together, so we went to the same school. So we're pretty close. And from early childhood, my brother has been very passionate about collecting coins. So he accumulated collections and albums of coins and money from different centuries and from different countries. And so I can imagine that he can soon probably retire if he decides to sell those collections. And so one of the good things about having an older brother is that he teaches you things. Okay, whether good or bad, that's another story, but he teaches you things. And so from my childhood, my brother always taught me to check the coins, the change that was passing through my hands. So if he would say, Anton, if you go and you pay for a bus ride, or you go to buy groceries and you get the change back, always check what you have in your hands. And so he would train me to check it. The year when it was issued, you know, the face on the coin, and he would say, some of those coins could be really, really rare, and they could be worth more than you can ever imagine. I mean, what if I told you that the pennies and quarters that right now lay all over your house, those quarters that sit in your cup holder, those pennies that are all over your cars and houses, and right now, the pennies that you twinkle in your pocket, the pennies that right now you carry in your purses, what if I told you that some of those quarters could be worth thousands of dollars? You see, we so often, so easily miss the treasure that is right in front of us. Now, what if I told you that there is another treasure that you're missing? What if I told you that there is a book that right now sits in your house, a book that sits in your offices, a book that you right now hold in your hands? What if I told you that this book perhaps is the most valuable possession that you'll ever have? What if I told you that this book that was given to us by God is so precious we can't even properly measure its value? What's so special about this book? Why read the Bible? So hopefully to find an answer to this question, we'll dive into our text. So would you please stand for reading God's Word? And as we read these verses, I'd like you to please pay attention to all the different words that the author of the Psalm is using to name the Bible. You know, when he talks about the law, the precepts, the testimonies, commandments, ways, rules, keep in mind that he's talking about the Bible. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands fast. By your appointment that stands this day, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. I have sinned and limited all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path. This is God's word.
Thanks be to God.
Father God, we invite you to open our eyes. We invite you to open our ears to hear your word. Please come into our presence and enter our hearts and give us wisdom to understand this text. And I'll pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Some of you just finished with your daily Bible reading plan, and you probably thought to yourself, "Phew, I'm so glad I did it in 2020, so next year I can just sit back and relax." And perhaps some of you are thinking right now to yourself, "I hope this guy won't be telling me to read the Bible again in next year." Well, maybe. Maybe. But if I did, what case would I make? What's so special about this book? Why read the Bible at all? Here is why. In a biographical movie about C.S. Lewis called Shadowlands, which perhaps some of you have seen, there is a scene in which Lewis is talking to one of his students who is in love with reading. And so the student who loves to read tells him where he's got the love for books. And as he's explaining this to Lewis, he quotes his father and he says, "You know, my father used to say, we read to know we're not alone. We read to know we're not alone." And so this morning, I want to give you a framework. Not the framework, just a framework that perhaps would help you read the Bible in a fresh new way next year. And so I want to propose to you that based on this psalm, we learn that the Bible is precious and should never depart from our lips, because the Bible tells you that you are not alone. So what does this mean? It means three things. We read to know we're not alone because we share in the fellowship of the saints. Second, because there is a lot of sin and evil. And thirdly, because there is God. So we're not alone because we're sharing the fellowship of the saints, because there is a lot of sin and evil, and because in the Bible we discover God. So first point, we read to know we're not alone because we share in the fellowship of the saints. See, we're not alone because in the Bible we find the saints who struggle with the same things that you're struggling with right now. You know, in my darkest times, it's very comforting for me to read the testimony of the saints, to read how they prayed. And when I read this psalm, the first thing that I see is that I see somebody like you. I see somebody like me who is afflicted and suffering. And this person is crying out to God. The psalmist says pretty much, "God, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I'm in pain. I'm miserable. No one knows what I'm going through." Psalmist says, "God, think I'm going too well." But what does he do? Did you notice what he does? He clings to the word of God. The psalmist says, "If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction." He says to God, "If it wasn't for the Bible, I would be done." And so here, the psalmist imitates for us what it's like to suffer in the people of God. What is it like? It's about clinging to the word of God. When we suffer, we must cling to the word of God. You see, the Bible tells us clearly that when you accept Christ as your Lord, when you accept Christ as your Savior, you immediately enter the kingdom of heaven. When you accept Christ as your God, you get introduced to all the men and women who lived in the Bible and struggled with the same things that you did. When you accept Christ as your God, you enter God's family. You join the fellowship of the saints. You enter the hall of faith. And now you can learn from those saints. Think about it. What do we do when we are lonely, when we're tired, when we're exhausted? You know, what's our natural instinct? So I'll just throw a few uneducated guesses. First guess is that when we're lonely and tired, we reach out to the remote, we turn the TV on, and we scroll through different channels. We find the best movie we like, or perhaps we watch some unrealistic reality TV show. And we just, you know, see how those people live in their fake lives. Or our second instinct is to reach out for our phone, go to social media and see what other people are doing with their lives. You know, we see what they post, what they write, what pictures they post. And so whether you want to admit it or not, whether you're alive or not, our first instinct sometimes is to check what other people are doing when we are lonely. Why is that? When we are tired, we want to see how other people live. And so God here tells us, hold on, let me tell you of some people who are really worth your time. God says when you're lonely, when you're tired, look at the testimonies of the saints. See, the Bible tells us whatever you're going through right now, whatever you're going through right now, the saints have gone through that as well. If you're rejoicing, they rejoice as well. If you're struggling, if you're suffering, they have suffered too. If you're facing a financial crisis, they've had that too. If you're lonely and depressed, the Bible tells you that you're not alone. If you're dealing with some really annoying people at work, if you're struggling with some really difficult people in your family, and you're just thinking to yourself, I don't know how much longer I can stand these people. Well then, read about Moses. Read how Moses dealt with the people of Israel in the wilderness, and let Moses testify. If you are dealing with a serious sexual sin, read about David, and let David testify. If you are struggling to trust in the Lord's provision, then you should read about Elijah and let Elijah testify. If you think that you have committed a sin, a very serious sin, if you're struggling with a sin that you think the Lord will never forgive, if you think that because you rejected the Lord, now He'll reject you, first of all, you're wrong. And second of all, you should read about Peter and let Peter testify. You see, we have a lot to learn from the saints. Think about David. The Bible says in a verse that David was a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. Have you ever pondered what this means? A man after God's own heart. Here's my two pence. A man after God's own heart. Now, what if this book was God's heart? What if this was God's heart? You know, when you read the Old Testament, when you read the Psalms, very quickly you find out that David was very much in love with God's Word. In Psalm 19, David says, the Word of God is right, it's perfect, it's trustworthy. Very quickly, when you read the Psalms, you realize that David was after God's Word. He loved God's Word. And so if this is true, then David was a man after God's own heart, because he didn't see this book as some sort of quarter that sits in your cup holder, but because he realized it was the most valuable possession that he had when he was by himself in the cave. Friends, if we were to be the church after God's own heart, then perhaps we need to learn to love this book, to ponder its truth, and to meditate on it day and night. So you see, when you read about the saints, you learn from them, you find out that you're not alone, and the encouraging, the uplifting thing is that now you can walk in their footprints. Now you can walk in their footsteps. Back to my brother. When we were going, you know, we were going to the same school with my brother, and usually we would go to school separated, but during the winter months, I made sure I stick with my brother, especially when I was little. And so we would wake up early in the morning, it's winter, it's cold outside, dark. We get outside and there is like 4 feet of snow. Seriously, a lot of snow, roads don't get clean. And the problem is that back then I didn't have the fancy gear that I have right now. You know, I didn't have those waterproof boots. I didn't have a jacket that said North Face. All I had was a cold face and some old boots that were going to get wet in about 20, 30 minutes. And so my brother, being very kind, being older one, being more responsible one, he knew that by the time we get to school, probably my shoes are going to get wet. And so he would say, Anton, I'm going to go first. I'm going to pave the way and you just walk behind me in my footprints. And so you understand, those aren't some like cute footprints that you take pictures of when you go to Destin. No, those were more like leg prints, because your whole leg was swallowed in the snow. And so me, as an obedient, faithful brother, I would just walk behind in his steps. I would walk behind in the steps of my brother. Friends, you too have brothers and sisters in Christ, whether you realize it or not. You too have brothers and sisters who walk this walk, who ran the race. They also did parenting, they also did marriage, they also did finances, they also worked hard. You see, this is the trodden path. And so, you too can now walk in their steps. You too can walk in their footprints. So read and know, you're not alone. Now, for the second point, we read to know we're not alone because in the Bible we find that there is a lot of sin and evil in the world. You know, the psalmist in our verses today says, we're not alone because the wicked lie to destroy you. He says the wicked laid a snare for you. He says there are evil paths which will tempt you and will lead you away. See, the Lord warns us that there is a devil who's like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And so the Lord warns us about the Cains, about the Jezebels, about the Judas of this world. He wants us to know that we're not alone out there. Think about it. Just like you would tell your child that there is a broken glass in the grass where your child plays, right? So does the Lord. Just like you would never let your children go to college without telling them about the evils of this world, neither does the Lord. And so the Lord says, study the scriptures. Read about sin and evil in the world. So when you study the scripture, because either the scripture will keep us from sin, or sin will keep us from scripture. Either the scripture will keep us from evil, or evil will keep us from scripture. And so when we read the word of God, we are convinced that there is sin and evil everywhere. You know, we have been called by God. Think about this. We have been called by God to live in this world. We as a community have been called by God to be here in downtown. God knew what He's preparing us for. And so He's telling us there is going to be a lot of sin and evil in the world. So we can't really escape it. We can't run away from this. We are already here. We can't run away from it. I've worked in Sanford Disability Services for the last 3 years prior to coming here. And one day we had a student walk in and place an unusual request. If you know where Sanford is, it's right, you know, in front of Lakeshore Parkway. And the student wanted to request to move out of his dorm. The student's dorm was right next to the Lakeshore Parkway. And the student said, I want to move out of here, and I want to move to a different dorm that is further out on campus, that is further out in the woods. And one thing to know is the student was really, prior to coming to Sanford, was raised in a very safe neighborhood, you know, very good home, where the student really wasn't exposed to sin and evil that this world brings. You know, the student wasn't used to interruptions and disturbances that this sinful world presents with. And so we understand the student's request was not due to some sort of mental health issue. It wasn't because of his PTSD. No, the reason was merely a moral problem. It was a moral principle. The student said, I want to move out of my dorm and move further out, because anytime I try to sit in my dorm, anytime I try to listen to music, watch something, study, I can't help myself but hear the people walk on that lakeshore walk, you know, right next to the Lakeshore Parkway. I can't help myself but hear those people walk and just cuss, just argue and just scream. Said, I can't help myself but to hear people scream from the cars. I can't stand hearing the sirens of the police cars. I can't stand to hear the sirens of the firefighters, the sirens of the ambulance. You see, what the student wanted to do is he wanted to run away from this reality. He wanted to escape where he was. And so the student, the problem was that he didn't really want to acknowledge the sin of this world. He didn't want to acknowledge that there is just so much bad language, there is so many arguments, that there are car accidents, that there is crime, there is pain, disease, that there is death. And so he wanted to run away from this. But our word says, you can't do this. You need to read about this in my word and be prepared to deal with it. See, the Lord tells us to do this because the world won't tell us about these things. You know, the world does not want you to know that this world is a broken place. The world will never admit its sinful, fallen state. You know, it'll say, you're crazy, but the world is not crazy. You know, people say, we will create a better world. You know, how many times have you heard from TV, from leaders, from whoever, that this world is on its way to become a better place? You know, we have some bad apples here and there, but we'll fix it. But we're going to create a better world, utopia. You know, we're going to create a perfect society where there is going to be no more sin, no more problems, no more death. You know, they say 21st century is the best one yet. And now, perhaps some of you have seen, there is a new cover at the Time magazine. It was issued, I think, 2 weeks ago. And the new cover is this. It's 2020, a big red cross, and under it says, the worst year ever. Think about this. 2020, the worst year ever in the history of the world, they say. But hold on, I thought this world was on its way to become a better place. See, the world contradicts itself, it's confused, but it will not admit that it's a fallen place. It's not going to become a better place. It's a sinful and a fallen and broken place. I've just read of a case in a book about this lesbian couple where both women were deaf. They couldn't hear from birth. And so they decided to have a child. They wanted to biologically produce a child of their own. And so they were looking for a donor so that they could produce that child. And from the start of the church of Adonai, they were told that the donors with disabilities were screened out. They were told, you cannot find a donor with disability. And so they decided to find their own donor, and they found a donor that was deaf just like them. And so because of this and because of some genetic modification that they allowed, they biologically produced a child that was deaf. Think about this. Even though they had an option to have a healthy child, they decided to have a child who would be deaf just like them. Think about this. This is a picture of this confused and disordered world. The world itself does not have the ears to hear about its sinful state. The world does not have the ears to have the news about its fallenness. It doesn't have the ears to hear the good news of the Bible. And it doesn't want you to have the ears to hear that either. See, the world will tell you that you're the problem. The world will tell you that you're by yourself, you're alone, there is nothing, there is no God. You know, the world is lying to us. In summary, the teaching of the world is this. The world says, in the beginning, there was no God. In the beginning, there was a lie. And the lie took on flesh, and the lie dwelt among us. And the lie, the deception, is that there is nothing. There is no God. You're on your own. You're alone. But we know the truth. And the truth is that in the beginning, there was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word took on flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word still continues to dwell among us today, because the Word is alive and active. Our Word said, I'm with you always to the end of the age. And the Word is still active in our lives through this book. The world says you're on your own, but the Word says, I'm with you always. And so this leads me to my last point. We need to know we're not alone, because in the Bible we discover God. So first, we need to know we're not alone because we're sharing the fellowship of the saints. Second, we need to know we're not alone because there is sin and evil. And thirdly, we need to know we're not alone because in the Bible we discover God. You know, in the verses this morning, in this psalm, we find out that there is God who listens to the cries of the psalmist, that there is God who is faithful to you, that God is the creator of all. The psalmist says that God is so wise, he knows the perfect plan for your life. In the Bible, we find a God who weeps with us, a God who cries with us, a God who protects us from the mouths of lions. This God stands with us in the fire furnace, which means that in the most embarrassing moments of your life, the most shameful moments of your life, when you failed at your worst, the Lord stood behind you and He lifted you up. See, in the Bible, we find a God who overcomes evil, who overcomes death, and who forgives your worst sins. But you see, there is no way to be convicted of this truth unless you get face to face with the Word of God, unless you read the Bible. But people will always find excuses not to read the Bible, you know. Somebody might just get up and say, you know, this is all great, but if there is a God, I want Him to speak to me. I don't want to read about your God. I want Him to speak to me face to face. And so my first instinct would be to say to such a person, I would say, very gentle and frankly, I would say, sir, perhaps you need to stop looking for a new revelation from God. Stop looking for a new revelation from God, because God already fully reveals Himself in His Word. In our closing hymn, we'll sing, what more can He say than to you He has said? What more can He say than to you He has said? So stop looking for a new revelation, and instead focus on what God has already revealed about Himself. And my second thing I would say to that person, perhaps you can speak to God face to face. If God wants to speak to you face to face, you have to speak to Him on His terms. It can't be on your terms. It has to be on God's terms. And on God's terms, you can speak to Him through this book. When you get face to face with this book, when you open this book and you meditate on it. You know, we've had a baby 3 months ago, and so far the highlight of my fatherhood has been walking around the house with a baby Zoe and a baby carrier. The best invention ever, the best $100 I ever spent. You put the baby in that baby carrier, and now it just looks up at me, I look down at it, smiles at me, I smile back at it. Just, you know, the sweetest thing ever. And I mean, the Bible says that when you read the Word of God, it's that kind of intimacy that we get with God. You sitting in the baby carrier, reading about God, and Him looking at you with a smile. I'll adopt what Fyodor Dostoevsky said in his beautiful, just beautiful novel, The Idiot. He said, every time you read the Word of God, every time you read the Word of God, God looks at you with the face of a loving mother who sees her baby's first smile. Every time, anytime you read the Bible, God looks at you with the face of a loving mother who sees her baby's first smile. Have you ever seen how new parents look at the smiles of their babies? Have you ever got a chance to see how new parents, that very glimpse when they saw the baby's very first smile, that very first smile, let me tell you, this is the most beautiful moment of anyone's life. There is a lot of tears of joy, tears of happiness. And friends, there is no reason to doubt that this is true. There is no reason to doubt that this is how God looks at us every time we read His Word. And if this is true, then this truth should set us free. This truth should lead us, move us to look at God's Word, not only to during our daily Bible reading plan, but always. For God so loved the world that He gave us His Word. And whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but read His Word. For this book leads us to eternal life. Friends, self-dependence will lead you to stumble. Self-reliance will crush you. It's proven. Proven by the testimonies of the saints, proven by the testimonies of the members of this church. But dependence on the Word of God will safely get you to the destination that we are all so eagerly waiting to see. It will safely get us to the kingdom of heaven. Dependence on the Word of God will safely get us to the kingdom of God. In my previous graduate program in Eastern Mississippi State University, I worked in disability services for 2 years. And we worked with students with different kinds of disabilities. We worked with students with mental retardation, students with autism, students with blindness, students with deafness. And so one of my little tasks was to walk the blind students to their classes. And so over the years, you know, I got to hear the stories, got to know them very well. And so I got to hear this story of one girl, Ashley. And Ashley would usually come to our office on her own. She'll be able to find her way to our office. And she'll come 20, 30 minutes before her class time. And, you know, I would take her to her class. And she would have a cane in her left hand. And her right hand, she would place on the left shoulder. You know, she would put her right hand and we would go on our way. Sometimes if the elevator is down, you know, we have to take the stairs. And you should have seen how slowly we walk down those stairs, how careful, because, you know, she's blind. So she has to feel every step with her cane. And so I'm leading the way. We're going very slowly, and then eventually we come down. I open the doors for her. Always open the doors for her. We walk outside. If it's raining, I have an umbrella popped up. If it's sunny, I have an umbrella to keep her from the sunburn. And so if there is a curve in front of us, I give her a heads up. If there is a rock in front of us, I give her a heads up. If there is a puddle of water, I wouldn't even tell her that there is a puddle of water. I would just slowly lean to the left, kind of walk around it. She never knew it was there. If there is a large crowd of people, I wouldn't even tell her they were there. I would just slowly lean to the right and walk around them. She didn't know they were there. Why would she know about this? She couldn't see. See, it was my responsibility to tell her where to go because I was the one with the vision. Because I saw the whole way out. And let me tell you, never in 2 years have we got to her class late. Every time we arrived on time. But as she walked, she always knew that she was not alone. She knew that she was with somebody because she stayed attached to me. And as we walked in us, I would share with her, I would give her company, we'd share a conversation. It was a pleasant walk. You see, we are all that blind student. We're all that blind student. And friends, if you want to make it your destination, you cannot do it without this guide because you'll stumble on the rocks, you'll fall into the puddles, you'll fall into the wrong crowds of people. But the Lord will lead you. He'll open the doors for you always. Because He sees the whole way out. He's the one with the vision. And just like Ashley had to put her right hand on my shoulder, so should we put our hand on this book and read it and meditate it and ponder its truth. And there is one thing that I think it's worth noting about Ashley. She shared with me one day that she was actually conceived healthy. There was a time when she could see, there was a time when she had the vision. She had the eyesight. And think about this. She was conceived healthy, but then she said sin came into her world. She said, one day I was doing well in the mother's womb because I was under my mother's protection. But then sin came into her little world. And she said, one day my father got into the argument with my mother, and in the heat of the moment, in the heat of the anger, he hit the mother right into the stomach, right into the womb, right where her eyes were. And ever since then, she could no longer see. Her eyesight was taken away. She was blind for life. And her father, because of this lesson, he never came back. Friends, this is the picture of this world. We've been created with a perfect vision. There was a time when we could actually see. There was a time when we were under our Father's protection and we had our eyesight. But because of sin, our eyesight was damaged, our vision was taken away. And so now there is no way that we can make it on our own because we need a guide. And the beautiful news is that our Father will never leave you nor forsake you. He's with you always to the end of the age. And through this book, He becomes a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. The word of the Lord says that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. And as long as His word stands, we should read and know we're not alone. Let me pray. Father God, I pray that You would move us to love Your word, that You would touch our spirit and lead us to read the scripture. You clearly tell us that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So help us, Father, to truly live by Your word. And I pray this now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please let's stand and sing together our closing hymn, How Firm a Foundation.
You and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
just use this time today to stimulate your thinking. I'd love a chance to get to know you a little bit better and have some conversation. Please feel free to reach out to me in whatever way is comfortable for you. You can come by the office, or I'll buy you lunch, or just a cup of coffee. Of course, you can always come by on Sunday mornings, and we can meet face-to-face, 10:25 on Sundays. Thanks again for watching.